From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. British voters are heading to the polls Thursday for what has been called the most important vote of their lifetimes, whether the United Kingdom should remain in or leave the European Union. Wednesday was the last day of campaigning. Prime Minister David Cameron urged voters to cast ballots to remain.
We are stronger. We are better off. We are safer in a reformed European Union. And that is why we should vote remain tomorrow morning in the largest possible numbers.
Conservative politician and Justice Secretary Michael Gove is among the leading advocates for leaving the European bloc.
I respect people on both sides of the argument, and I think it's good that we hear from the heart from politicians and others who want us to remain and who want us to leave. But ultimately, people will have a chance tomorrow to take back control of our democracy, and I think that is a very, very powerful argument.
Two polls just before the Thursday referendum showed a slight advantage for the Leave campaign. Others show support for the Remain campaign, although there's still many undecided voters. Election analysts say turnout will be crucial for both sides. Gunmen in southern Nigeria kidnapped at least seven people, including four Australians and a New Zealander, identified as contractors for a mining and engineering company on the outskirts of the city Calabar in Cross River State. Their driver was killed. Malcolm Turnbull is Australia's Prime Minister.
The Australian High Commissioner is on the scene, and we are working with the authorities, the local authorities at the highest levels.
Mr. Turnbull said the identity of the kidnappers is not known. He described the incident as a very serious criminal assault. The kidnappers have not yet contacted police. Abductions for ransom are a long-standing problem in the region. This is VOA News. In Iraq, government coalition forces pressed their five-week assault on retaking the Islamic State-held city Fallujah. The French press agency said IS defenders have been pushed back to their last readouts. Brigadier Haider al-Obeidi said almost 90% of the city has been liberated. He says he hopes the advance will be completed within days. More than 80,000 civilians fled the fighting, with over 60,000 said to be in overwhelmed displacement camps that lack basic supplies. Meanwhile, the U.S. is to host a pledging conference next month to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to help Iraqis return to normal life. Colombia and the leftist FARC rebels agreed to a ceasefire Wednesday, with a signing ceremony scheduled later Thursday to end hostilities in a 50-year-long guerrilla war that killed some 220,000 and displaced millions. Peter Hockham is a Latin American scholar at the Washington-based Inter-American Dialogue.
Not only has it been the longest war, it's probably cost the most lives of any war on the mainland of Latin America. And, you know, it's caused Colombia to be among the countries in the entire world which have the largest displaced population.
President Juan Manuel Santos and rebel leader Rodrigo Londono will sign the ceasefire agreement in Havana, where peace talks have been held for 4 years. Mr. Santos says he expects final negotiation to be complete by July 20th. The deal, including land reform, will then be put to the Colombian people in a referendum. Senior U.S. diplomat Thomas Shannon met Wednesday in Caracas with Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro on how to improve relations. The countries have not exchanged ambassadors since 2010 amid sharp disagreement over the country's socialist policies. Mr. Maduro, a sharp U.S. critic, called on Shannon to tell President Obama to rectify U.S. policy toward his country. Shannon also pressed for a release of political prisoners, and he met members of the opposition who were trying to recall Mr. Maduro. Zambia's largest privately owned newspaper has been shut down by the government over unpaid taxes, but the owner of the Post newspaper said the paper, a frequent critic of the government, is being stifled in a political move ahead of August's election. The country's Supreme Court ordered the paper to pay about $6 million in unpaid taxes. More pre-election street protests in townships around South Africa's capital Wednesday left at least two dead and dozens arrested. Shops have been looted, vehicles torched. The violence believed to be tied to the selection of the ruling African National Congress candidate for Mayor Pretoria. The International Monetary Fund has trimmed its forecast for U.S. economic growth this year to 2.2%. IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde cites falling productivity, declining labor force participation, poverty and income inequality. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.